Get ready for even more tussling over the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. President Clinton created it. President Obama expanded it late in his term, though not as much as his supporters wanted. And President Trump ordered a review by the Interior Secretary of all monuments made or made bigger since 1996. The review went to the White House late last week, and one report indicates the Cascade-Siskiyou Monument will be recommended for a downsizing. The monument straddles the state line in Jackson, Klamath, and Siskiyou counties. The word from Washington surprises no one, least of all the several entities poised to file suit if it is true. That would include the Western Environmental Law Center, where Susan Jane Brown is the Wildlands Program Director and Staff Attorney. She's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange once again. Susan Jane, welcome back.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you.
So only the Washington Post seemed to have the details about the Cascade-Siskiyou Monument being on the list on Friday. Even the Oregonian couldn't confirm it then. Is there any reason to believe the report is in error?
Not at this time. We know that the reporter is a good one and seems to have a good line to the White House. So there's nothing really to suggest that the report is in error. Of course, we can't really tell for sure until we actually see the report that Secretary Zinke has turned in to the president. It's a little ironic to us that something that was supposed to be a public and transparent process to take feedback on monuments has really been withheld from the public. So until we see it, we won't know for sure, but we have no reason to believe otherwise.
There was public input to the process itself. I mean, people got to comment on what the proposals were for the monuments, didn't they?
Yes, that's right. Certainly when the monument was expanded, there were a number of meetings that were hosted by the Bureau of Land Management as well as Senator Wyden and Merkley. And so there has been quite a bit of public feedback on the monument's expansion. Before President Obama took his action earlier this year to actually expand the monument. So the public has had a number of opportunities to weigh in and hear their voices heard. I think what is troubling to us is that there's a small minority who did have an opportunity and did provide public comment on the monument's expansion, but because they didn't get their way, they are now taking things to another level and seeking to drastically reduce and or change the monument's management. And that's really not the way that this is supposed to work.
I can't imagine there's any particular surprise in hearing that the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument would be recommended for shrinkage, at least back to its original borders.
Yeah, no, we're not surprised at all. As you and your listeners know, when we talk about land management in Southern Oregon and the state of Jefferson, there are a lot of opinions and a lot of passions, and all of those opinions and passions don't always agree. So we're not surprised, but we are here to defend the monument, which is a monument to biodiversity, and we believe that protecting biodiversity is more important now than ever.
Well, the Western Environmental Law Center, for whom you work, could not be clearer in reaction. The news release is headlined, Zinke, that's Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, defies public outcry and ignores likely job losses, will recommend Trump illegally shrink Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. So when we get to the term illegally there, can you walk us through the various levers and switches in the Antiquities Act?
Sure. It's actually a relatively straightforward law. It gives the president the ability to protect what are known as objects, which it does have a legal term, and it refers to things of scientific, cultural, scientific value that need to be protected. Historically, at the outset, the Antiquities Act was used to protect Native American ruins and artifacts, that sort of thing. But as we became more familiar with the valuable assets and objects that our public lands have in them, the Antiquities Act has been used over the past 150 years or so to protect larger areas that are also very important and have a lot of cultural and scientific value, things like the Grand Canyon, for example. And we believe that Cascade-Siskiyou is right along with those types of earlier protected areas. Now, it's important also to note that the Antiquities Act only gives the president the ability to designate monuments. It does not give him or her the ability to abolish monuments that have been designated by prior presidents, and nor does it give presidents the ability to change a monument once it's been designated. And that authority comes, honestly, not from the Antiquities Act, but from another law called the Federal Land Policy and Management Act. And in 1976, Congress took back the authority to change monuments. And so only Congress now has the ability to change, to make smaller or change the monument management from a prior designation. So if the President and Secretary Zinke want to shrink Cascade Siskiyou or any of the other monuments that are on the chopping block, they need to go to Congress for that authority, and that's what the law requires. And we at the Western Environmental Law Center and our partners intend to hold the President and Secretary Zinke accountable.
Susan Jane Brown is, in fact, with the Western Environmental Law Center. She's Wildlands Program Director and Staff Attorney. We are talking about the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument, which, by at least one report, appears to be on the list of places recommended for shrinkage by the Interior Secretary to the White House. Question becomes, what happens then if the attempt is made? Clearly, there will be lawsuits filed. You can join us on the exchange. We'd like to hear your thoughts. Monument bigger, monument smaller, monument not at all. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So Antiquities Act and Federal Land Policy and Management Act of 76. Much case law on this, Susan Jane Brown?
There's not a lot of case law on this. The case law that is out there indicates that the president's decision to designate a monument and set its management trajectory is generally unreviewable. It is a case where there's not a lot of case law about what a president can and cannot do. What is out there indicates that the president doesn't have the authority to change a monument once it's been designated. And legal scholars on all sides of the political spectrum have pretty consistently indicated that the Antiquities Act is a one-way ratchet, meaning that it is only intended for protection and not for a reduction of protection. So we are in a situation where we may be making new case law, but we feel very strongly that what is out there is firmly on our side.
It sounds like this is potentially a separation of powers issue where one branch of government cannot do the things from which it is proscribed from doing.
Yes, that's right. We are certainly not only talking about the Antiquities Act, but there are a number of constitutional issues in play here, which is something that we don't ordinarily deal with in land management fights. But here is one of those cases where we may, in fact, be talking more about constitutional law than federal land management law.
It sounds like you'll have some company, too. It's Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum also indicated that a suit will be filed if, in fact, there is an effort to scale back the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. Is there any discussion between Western Environmental Law Center and the Oregon Department of Justice about whether they would be on the same case? Are we talking different cases or what?
Well, those sorts of conversations, I think, have yet to really occur, but we are certainly very pleased that the state of Oregon has been clear and has joined its compatriots in Washington and California and other states in the West where monuments are at risk to very clearly issue a warning to the president and the secretary that, you know, these monuments are extremely important to our state, not only for the recreational opportunities that they provide, the biodiversity protection they provide, but also the economic generating capacity that these monuments have for our state. And so it's been great to have some allies in the state, in Oregon, who have been, again, clear that these monuments mean a lot to our state. And Governor Brown spent some time with Secretary Zinke when he was here visiting the monument and was very clear with him that she supports this monument, and that if the president and the secretary make the decision to threaten this monument, to shrink it, to change it, that we'll see them in court. And I think that's where the governor should be, and hopefully we will be right there with her.
Let's come back to square one and get to the monument rationale in the first place. Why was it chosen to exist by Bill Clinton? Why was it chosen for expansion by Barack Obama?
Well, for any of us who have been down to the Cascade-Siskiyou area, you know that it really is a magical place. It is not what some would call pristine, which is okay. It doesn't have to be. It's not a wilderness area. But it does have some extraordinary biodiversity, whether it's insect biodiversity, a lot of different kinds of butterflies, to mammals and birds. It has some terrific water quality. Some of that water quality is impaired and can and should benefit from science-based restoration, which is allowed under the monument's proclamation. And so it's an area that is large and really provides one of the best examples of landscape connectivity between several different areas of Oregon and Northern California. And when you have an area of biological diversity, such rich diversity, and connectivity amongst states and different types of habitats, it's an area that's deserving of protection. And certainly President Clinton saw that when he originally designated the monument. As you know, there were a number of scientists who, at the time, wanted the monument to be much larger in order to fully protect the biodiversity. And those scientists and other advocates continued to press their case through successive administrations and finally were able to convince the Obama administration that the biodiversity needed more protection and, frankly, given climate change, a much larger area than what was expanded should be protected. But given political realities and conversations with public and other stakeholders, President Obama did expand the monument, but not to the size that many scientists were recommending. So it has been a political process. Decisions have been made based on politics, but with an eye towards protecting that biodiversity, which is really key in that region.
But the politics are responding to economic concerns from another side. You've got people saying that their access to the lands will be limited, that they will be unable to do their ranching, there'll be cutbacks on logging, a number of claims made there. Where do you come down on those?
Well, you know, I think it's a complex issue, of course. Simply designating the monument or expanding it does not hinder public access to those lands. The lands are still publicly owned, and if you could access them before, you can access them post-expansion. I think the real issue comes down to how should the monument be managed. And if you are a private landowner and have land within the monument's boundary, the designation does not affect you. Your land is still private. The federal designation does not change what you can do on your lands. That said, because they are public lands that surround private lands, the public may, in fact, be able to view what you do on your lands, and some landowners may not want that sort of public scrutiny, which I can understand. But on the public lands themselves, the monument expansion, or the original proclamation, does allow for science-based restoration on those lands, and that does include some timber harvest. It would not be timber harvest strictly for commercial purposes, but if there is restoration benefit from that harvest, it could still continue. So, you know, we see and hear these arguments about how the monument really has hindered land management there, and I think that that's a red herring. If you talk to the land managers who actually are managing this land, they'll tell you that, yes, we can still conduct operations here that are suitable and compatible with the proclamation that protected the area. So I think that the claims that we're shutting people out simply by designating this place as a monument are really uninformed and simply not true.
Is a legal brief essentially ready for filing once the proposal to roll back the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument is confirmed to be on the table?
Well, I would tell you that we are prepared. Certainly, we need to see what the president and the secretary actually say and do. We don't have any of that information yet, but if we are to believe the Washington Post story, we'd be looking at probably a shrinkage and possibly a proclamation management change. And so we are putting together our legal case based on worst-case scenarios.
But if the process that is considered by the White House looks like it's a presidential-only process, that's one lawsuit. If it then is sent off to Congress, though, and Congress says, sure, we'll shrink the monument, and the president signs it, that's a different lawsuit, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. You're absolutely right that depending on who does what will change our legal strategy. If the president issues a new executive order, that's one approach. If Secretary Zinke's report simply recommends to Congress that Congress take action, we don't really have much to do until Congress takes action. And I would suggest that Congress is probably highly unlikely to take action given its other priorities between now and the end of the calendar year. So we do have different options in play, and we'll respond accordingly depending on what happens later this week.
You seem confident Congress won't take that up, but I wonder if Congress might, because this would be a win, certainly that the Republicans in Congress could share with the president if this were to happen.
Yes, that's certainly true. And I think, though, the politics in Congress around monuments is an interesting question. Certainly, the House of Representatives has been, generally speaking, much more hostile towards public lands protections. On the Senate, however, and it does take two houses of Congress to pass legislation, the senators in Congress have been very clear in Oregon, Washington, California that they are supportive of their monuments. And so it would take quite a bit of log rolling and vote counting in order to, I think, change that calculus in the Senate. But you're right. Anything can happen, and Congress can do anything it chooses if it decides to take action.
So we are essentially waiting for the other shoe to drop to find out what exactly the Interior Secretary has proposed. There should be word on that maybe later today, maybe later this week, and maybe it'll be a while yet. We'll just keep our ears to the ground to see what happens with the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument and two other national monuments proposed for some sort of tinkering by Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. Susan Jane Brown is Wildlands Program Director and Staff Attorney for the Western Environmental Law Center. Thanks for joining us once again.